B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Touch Her Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Newton, four-man rush. Cam's in the pocket, throws down the middle. Open, Izzo makes the catch at the 45. He turns to the outside, the ball's loose. Back loose, he fumbled, picked up by Denver. And Simmons runs it across the midfield stripe to the 45 of New England. Shoved out of bounds by Zuber at the Patriot 42.
Third and three, possession of the year. Great throw, terrible fumble. Can we get a tight end that functions?
985, the Sports Sub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe and I are trying to figure out what he means by drive of the year.
Well, the
drive of the game, you mean?
Oh, maybe he meant for him. Oh. Maybe they actually meant for Izzo, that was like his best play so far, and then he barfs it off.
Yeah, he actually had a couple of catches on that drive.
No, okay. I was curious. By the way, you can watch us, the Toucher and Rich Show, on the Twitch app. Go to twitch.tv or the Twitch website, twitch.tv, and search for 98.5 The Sports Hub. It'll send you a neat reminder if you subscribe to us. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, hear the station live, listen to the podcast, read your bloggerooties. And right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're your home for the Patriots, and that's because we have the games. Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network, and Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow Tea proudly. And Bob joins us. Oh, did I hang up on him? Bob, I didn't hang up on you. Did I? Bob? I hung up on Bob by accident. Preemptive. Bob will join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I got big with his sausage hands.
Bob, are you there?
Okay. Bob, you've turned into an animal.
Whoa!
Okay. My goodness gracious.
Bob, are you going to tell us about this game?
I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, good. All right. I'm glad you are. Thank you very much. What did you think about that Izzo fumble?
Oh, my God.
I know. It was really just awful. What do you think about the receiver? I mean, what did you think Belichick said to those receivers?
Last dismissed.
Oh, my goodness.
You would hope so. I mean, that would be nice.
I mean, school's out for summer, I got to tell you. Bob, Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I'm so sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to hang up on you there.
It usually takes at least a few words for me before you hang up on me, but that's okay.
That's actually I've never done that to the phone before. So I just mangled the key. All right. Well, Bob, it was a strange, we're in strange times, and it was a very strange 2 weeks. We heard of things like there would be a player revolt had they played the Denver game last weekend. And then you get the product that you got this weekend. I was just curious of what you had heard, if anything, about the attitude of the team and like how crazy were the players about not playing last Sunday, and if they would that have been a major situation in the locker room?
You know, Fred, my understanding is that a lot of what we heard from the players who were quoted on record, Jason McCourty, some of the other guys who were upset and questioned the NFLPA as much as they did the league and talked about looking out for each other, that was really mostly related to the trip out to Kansas City. I can't say that this past week there was much talk or a sense that it was lingering into the preparation for this game, even though they went on the practice field.
Bob, I'm sorry. You know, what I meant was if they would have ended up playing the game.
Yeah.
Because our belief and just what we've heard is that there was the Patriots, you know, were like, hey, there might be something going on here, or the league got a wind of that somehow.
Right.
How serious was that threat? If the league would have said, you guys are playing on Sunday and that's just the way it is, how bad would that have been?
Well, if the reports are accurate, and there's no reason to doubt that they are, with Belichick being involved in calls, with what we heard from the players, and even on record is Jason McCourty, stated on Saturday before the scheduled game against the Broncos, that there's substance to that, and that I think that, you know, it was real enough for the league to take into account, you know, what the Patriots' point of view was. I think it was reported, and I can't remember who reported it, that the coaches and players, you know, definitely did not want to play that game. And, you know, certainly whatever led the league to make the decision that it was going to postpone the game from last week, you have to think that there was a strong influence based on what, you know, they heard from inside the Patriots locker room and the coaches' offices. Again, if those reports are accurate, I don't have any reason to doubt that they are.
All right. So there's, like, watching the game yesterday, the one thing that I got out of it, and we were talking earlier about how there's problems that the team had, and we talked, you know, we said how the offensive line was just dudes. You know, they just threw dudes in there playing positions that they weren't normally playing. So I'm not going to look at the running game or any problems that they had there, even the fact that, you know, Cam Newton was sacked, what, four times, I think, yesterday. So it's, I'm not going to read too much into that. But then there's real problems that have been consistent. And I think that the biggest one that's glaring right now is Cam doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to. There's an issue with Julian Edelman. N'Keal Harry, we keep talking about just how he's getting closer and closer to a bust every week. And as you heard in that clip that we played of you, that the tight end situation, man, when's it going to get better? So how do they fix this? How bad in your mind is this situation of Cam having no one to throw the ball to?
Well, Rich, I said something in private to one of our colleagues last night. You know, practice or not, there are certain things that, you know, we saw yesterday that we have seen the last couple of years, and even going back to the year they won the Super Bowl against the Rams, the lack of separation and speed of wide receiver, just athleticism to beat somebody one-on-one.
Yep.
And that has been a persistent problem for this team the last two-plus years now. The tight end position, the lack of production there. Ryan Izzo is the only tight end who's been targeted. They drafted two this year. We haven't seen Dalton Keene because of an injury. And Devin Asiasi hasn't been able to get on the field consistently enough, and he hasn't been targeted yet. And I know a lot of people are waiting for him to get that opportunity, but there's got to be a reason why the coaches aren't giving it to him in game situations. And I look at those two positions, and I also look at on defense, you know, The Patriots are not a team that has always that have had like the dominant pass rusher that other teams have had. They haven't had the Von Miller or the game wrecker and Aaron Donald. But right now it seems to me that, you know, there's nobody who can just wreak havoc with a young quarterback like Drew Lock yesterday. You got to try to do it by scheming it up. And, you know, and not that the defense played poorly. They did a great job in the red zone overall. They kept the Broncos to kicking field goals. But you know, you look at a game like that, a young quarterback like Locke coming in, first start since week two, on the road, you know, if you the ability to win athletically one-on-one. And I think that those are things that this team is lacking in both areas, offense and defense, in key positions, but particularly on offense. At the receiver spot and at the tight end spot, and you're right about Julian Edelman. You know, I was hoping, if not expecting, that the layoff would really benefit him. The not having practice, at least in some way, would enable Julian Edelman to come back and move a lot better. But there are certainly restrictions to his movement and the restrictions to his playing time right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, do you think that Cam's arm is okay? Because that was another thing that we've seen a little bit of, and yesterday was concerning.
I don't know if it's the arm or just, the mechanics, which have been problematic for him for a long period of time, very inconsistent from day one of his career, and, you know, in the wake of a couple of the shoulder surgeries, even more so, and there was so much talk about Newton's mechanics and the Patriots trying to work with him early this year. I just thought yesterday there were a couple of things, and Zoe pointed it out immediately, that, you know, were really like the interception on the screen pass. It was the result of, you know, kind of careless, I don't want to say nonchalance, but mechanically, you know, just you know, it's the kind of play where when you watch, and again, it's always unfair to compare a quarterback to Brady, but I say this about Brady all the time. It's like the little things that stand out. He never changed his throwing motion, whether he was throwing a screen pass or whether he was throwing a ball deep down the middle or an out to the sidelines. You know, the consistency, the being able to repeat the motion, and I think with Newton, you kind of get you know, a mix of good mechanics on some throws and good results, and then the opposite of that. The other part of it for me yesterday is just the hesitancy, and maybe that's related to what we talked about with the lack of guys getting open. But a couple of those sacks, you know, those are sacks, including the strip sack, that, you know, we criticized Brian Hoyer for the same thing in Kansas City, holding on to the ball too long. The quarterback has to have that internal clock to get rid of it or to escape. And I thought a couple of times yesterday, Cam certainly held on to the ball far too long.
All right, so how do you fix this?
Well, you know, you start, I guess, as Belichick said yesterday, with practice. But then and I don't mean to be flippant, but they got to get some guys back. Hopefully, you know, hopefully results day after day now are negative when it comes to COVID. And nobody else has to go on the COVID list, whether it's because of a positive test or close contact over an extended period of time with somebody who is infected. The trade deadline is coming up. I'm not sure if the Patriots are going to be able to make a move that helps them in any of those areas we're talking about. I think probably most likely is somebody in the front seven defensively. But they've got to, I think, add somehow, some way, via trade to this team. And it remains to be seen how much movement there's going to be. It seems like there's skepticism that there will be a lot of movement on the part of some, including Belichick, based on what he told us last week and what we saw at the end of the training camp before the regular season started, just with COVID and the period of time that guys have to wait out before, you know, they're able to play for you because they have to pass all the protocols and have the successive negative tests. You know, you're not going to get help right away when you make that trade. You're going to have some patience. You're going to need an extra week or so to have an impact. And we did see a trade yesterday. Steve McClendon got traded to the Buccaneers. And, you know, that's a nose tackle. Maybe he could have helped the Patriots and their front seven, especially since we haven't seen Bo Allen yet since he signed with the Pats as a guy who was supposed to help them up front. But I think, you know, and somehow, some way, they've got to try to get N'Keal Harry involved. I mean, he had the game against Seattle, and a lot of people thought he'd turn the corner. But the numbers otherwise, not just the receptions, but just the sheer number of targets, they're not there for a guy that, you know, you're expecting to have a breakout season, or at least you're hoping will have a breakout season as a number one pick, your top pick from last year.
Hey, Bob, I heard your pregame yesterday. You mentioned you felt like you haven't been there in a while. And I don't know, did it seem like the football team yesterday was playing like that as well, maybe facing adversity with all the COVID stuff happening, the MASH unit out there? Did it just feel different for you in general? And you obviously saw that with the football team on the field.
You know, it felt different, as I said, but on the other hand, I mean, they knew the deal going in, and I thought Matthew Slater summed it up perfectly, Joe. You know, this is 2020, and as Belichick said last week, time and time again, it's hour by hour, and it's that way for all of us in all of our jobs. And you know, I certainly sounded like it had been a long time. I sounded like I'd probably never been in a broadcast booth to the listeners yesterday. And at times, it looked like the Patriots had never practiced, yesterday during that game. But this is 2020. It's the NFL and the pandemic. And, you know, we knew going in that there was not going to be true competitive balance and equal conditions for everybody. And as many people have pointed out, the Tennessee Titans were able to, you know, get through their experience, and they came out and routed the Buffalo Bills. And then yesterday, you know, won a game again against the Houston Texans after relinquishing a huge lead and still found a way to pull it out in the end. So for the Patriots, you know, again, as much criticism as there was for the league about playing the game in Kansas City, now that the Denver game has been played, I don't think we can say that, you know, the conditions leading up to it, the circumstances leading up to it, you know, excuse the performance at this point.
All right. Well, Bob Soucy, it's certainly an adjustment period for Patriots fans. And, you know, we got to say this, at least there's no gimmies. So be tuned in whenever you can to hear the Patriots call. And Bob and Zoe do tell it like it is. I mean, every highlight we've played. And I heard the first quarter on the radio, and it was a good job by you guys. And we appreciate you taking the time the week, the day after every game. We do appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it too, Fred. Guys, take care.
All right, take it easy. There you go. The great Bob Soucy. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, we were this close. We were this close. You told me on Thursday for the Degenerate special about the scorigami. I have no idea what the hell a scorigami was, but you explained that it was when there's an NFL score that has never happened before. It's something called a scorigami. And when was the last time that it happened, Joe? Did that happen last year?
It actually happened last week. The Titans game against Buffalo was the last time it happened.
Okay, but that, this happens rarely, right? Like once every couple of years?
Well, there's been 1,058 unique final scores in NFL history.
Okay, and it's very tough to get one of these.
Exactly, because, you know, a lot of the game. But you can also follow Scorigami on Twitter if you'd like, and you can find out.
I followed him last night.
There you go.
Because what happened was, for the Degenerate special, you told me that $100, there was a $100 bet that I could make that there would be a Scorigami before the end of the season. And, you know, the way that you described it, does it sound like there weren't, the chances weren't that great? As a matter of fact, it paid off pretty well, right? Like
I think it was like $250 or
so. Okay, so yeah, $100 bet gets you $250. There were two games yesterday that were about 15 seconds away from being scorigamis. There was the Patriots game. If the Patriots would have come down and scored on that final drive, more than likely they would have hit a scorigami. And if Tennessee, with 4 seconds left in regulation, hadn't scored, that would have been a scorigami. So we were like right there on two of them. Yeah. And unfortunately, things ended up sucking, and we didn't get that. But that's a bet that rides the entire season, right, Joe?
The whole year, yep, even the playoffs.
Oh, nice. Scorigami
could still be worth something.
We live in odd times. All right, Sam, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
So three things. I don't think we can use the Patriots, they should have beaten that team trope anymore, because that's not the same team they were for the past 20 years.
Yep.
So I feel like Denver came in and beat us handily, and that's, we were going to lose that game anyway. The other thing is, Julian Edelman's confidence is not, he doesn't have confidence because it's in Tampa Bay right now, and he wants to play with him. And the third thing is, if Cam Newton had the same enthusiasm jumping on a fumble in this game that he did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, he probably would have won.
That point was made. That point was made on the radio broadcast. Not maybe on the radio broadcast, but it was made somewhere. But that's the thing now. That's the thing is now.
Hang on, let's stop with that. This team, I don't care, with Cam Newton, and this team, that Denver team sucks.
Let me finish.
Even with no practice or anything, they should have beat Denver. Well, they should have beat the pants off of Denver.
Okay, you just said something that Patriot fans should get used to.
Well, yeah,
wait, everyone, let me just, please, then have the floor. Things like they should have, things like if they... These are all phrases that are going to be coming up a lot now.
And
this
is with these two teams.
They should have beaten
Denver.
But not against this team.
Yes.
Not against. These are phrases. These are all phrases.
This team. Let me just finish my thought. Yesterday should have beaten Denver.
They should have.
It's easy to say.
They should have.
And it's true.
They should have. Mm-hmm. But this is the lesson, that this is going to be happening a lot now, because this is what every other franchise says the next day. Is that there's going to be... Because remember the Kansas City game, a lot of people were saying, well, if they had Cam Newton, yes, if they had Cam Newton, very possibly they could have won that game, but they didn't. You know, then there's, you know, they should have beat Denver yesterday. Yes, they absolutely should have. So these are just things that are going to be happening from now on. And there's a good part of it in that, every week, even though, Joe, I agree with you, this offense is really boring, but nonetheless... This is something that is going to be happening. Every game that they play now is undecided going into it. You do not know. You absolutely do not know. Now, could they go in and play Buffalo and blow their doors off? Sure. But could they go and lose to any other team but the Jets? Yes. And that's just the way it's going to be. And it's going to be like this for a long time. And Joe brought up something interesting off air a while ago, which is now taking where this team is, maybe not today, but going into the very near future, because we're not certain Cam Newton's going to stay on this team. And I'm not positive you give Cam Newton a big contract right now based on the talent on this team. So is this team, what kind of position they're in? Because they might be in a weird position, which we talk about in all sports, which is that it would be dumb to sell right now. You certainly aren't selling. You're certainly not going to give up assets, I would think. It wouldn't be smart to give up assets to improve in the future. But how much do you sell out your future to gain assets for this season?
Because it depends on how well you do this season.
Well, no.
It really depends.
But for this season, going into the trade deadline, so there is no depending. It is what it is. They're 2-3 at the trade deadline. Would you be willing to sacrifice draft capital to pick up a receiver?
Yes.
Like, would you give up a fifth-round pick to get a receiver this year?
It depends on how they're doing, but I still think that this team is good enough to win the division.
Well, they are what they are. I mean, they're not going to be terrible. I mean, they're going to be a fringe playoff team. So is this something that you're willing to do? Because the worst kind of team to be is a mediocre team. So are you willing to give up a fifth, fourth-round pick to get a receiver this year? Is that
I say yes, because I like... Listen, Cam Newton had an awful game yesterday. He did. He's better than that. The defense is very good. And I think the running game is fine. I think the offensive line, when they're healthy, is good enough to give you an effective running game. And the guys that you got, they're fine. I think they're good enough to make a run. They're nowhere near the best team in the AFC.
What?
Well, hopefully getting to the possibly deep into the playoffs. I don't think they're the best team in the league.
You don't think they're the best team
in the AFC, rather. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC.
That's a leap of faith. But a run, what's a run?
But they have a puncher's chance. I mean,
Chance at what?
At possibly winning the AFC. I mean, they got a puncher's chance. They went toe-to-toe with Kansas City.
They got to win the AFC East first. I mean, and if you look at it long term, Buffalo's ahead of them.
I'm not writing them off.
Miami might be
saying.
Better than them right now.
Come on, man.
Hey, they're 3-3, dude.
Yeah, I know, but they played Miami.
By the way, the Patriots now are behind the Dolphins and Miami in the playoff.
Dolphins and Bills, yes.
No, and the Broncos.
Oh, Broncos, yeah.
And so, I mean, right now, the 11th best team in the AFC, according to the... according to the tiebreaker scenario, the 11th seed in the AFC.
So this is what I would do, Fred. I would invest in this team because the defense is good. And I still think you have great coaching. But they can't show up and beat anybody. And I just wanted... I shared an email with you guys quickly.
Don't ignore me. I'm trying to figure out who what this guy
is. I was just saying, Rex Ryan, Rich, to your point, came out and actually was bashing Cam Newton. Basically thinking that there might be something to an
injury.
With
his arm? Yeah, there could be. I mean, yesterday's game was the first one where I said, maybe we have enough evidence now to start to be concerned.
He said he was pushing the ball. He wasn't accurate downfield, which they've seen throughout his career. But they think maybe, the lack of weapons and maybe something with him pushing the ball might be an issue right now.
Yeah, well, something is going on, and regardless of what it is, it's a kind of purgatory that the team's in right now, because what are you going to do? You'll hear Zolak, who just walked in the room. He'll give his 2 cents in when he comes on
a team. What was that flap that I just heard there?
It was his headphones.
It was his headphones.
Okay. Oh,
but Joe, I'll ask you. Joe, would you give up a pick this year to improve your team?
I would only give up a pick to invest in the future. So, like, for example, a tight end that will be here for a while.
Ooh, then you'd have to give up a high pick.
Like, people will say, oh, go get Julio Jones. No. I wouldn't do that. But, David Njoku for a third, fourth round pick, I probably would look at.
Okay.
And I know he's on the Browns in there, but they haven't... he's a guy who wanted out at one point.
A Browns, a team who's solidly ahead of you in the playoff race. And so if I'm the Browns, I don't think I'm making a deal with the Patriots.
Yeah, now the Browns look, other than yesterday, of course, the Browns are pretty good. Yep. So, I mean, they're not going to sell off anything.
Browns are crap. The Browns are crap. But they're not going to sell off anything.
The Browns' offense has been good.
Like, actually good, despite Baker Mayfield. Yeah. They've been good. Yesterday, not yesterday.
Well, yesterday
before that,
was...
they've been very good.
Yesterday was an all-time anemic... I mean, Pittsburgh looked like the steel curtain. I mean, that was a joke.
Pittsburgh looks amazing.
Yes.
And that team looks
easiest,
so
easiest schedule in football,
good.
But yes.
Yes,
they
but
good.
They play, they had the easiest schedule in football, and then they played Cleveland and completely just embarrassed them. And I know maybe
who's that Claypool kid? Is that he's like
Chase
a rookie
Claypool
this year, right?
From Notre Dame. Yep,
he was
taken after
Dame.
Nick. Yep. Yeah. He's yeah. That kid's awesome, man.
Oh, the Patriots in purgatory. Whoever would have thought? Who would have ever thought? Not good enough to win. Not bad enough to lose. Dennis, go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey.
Been better. No. Go ahead.
Good. Yeah. I hate you two arguing. First of all, I want to know what's going on with Julian Edelman. Why are they not targeting him, and why is he not on the field?
They're targeting him.
His knee's jacked up.
They're targeting him.
We played a report from Mike Giardi. His knee's still bothering him. So
they had him off the field for a bunch of plays, too. So.
He had six targets yesterday, which was second on the team.
The thing that bothers me the most is the fact that here's a guy who plays hurt and everything else, and yet they don't even target him when he's on the field.
They're targeting him. They're throwing him the ball. He's just, I mean, they are, Joe.
Yeah, the numbers are down the last three games, though, since that Seattle game.
Well, I mean, you can only throw it to so many people. James White had nine targets, and Edelman had six. Bird had four. Izzo had three, and one for the rest of the gang. Except for Harry, who had two targets.
Yeah, but Edelman, though, it's his third week in a row where he's been held to three or fewer catches.
Yes, there's something wrong with him. And he's also old and taking a lot of abuse. And maybe, just maybe, he looks at this team and says, remember how we talked, and I think that you talked about it too, but and I just brought it up to someone who would know better than me. And I said, you know, you saw Edelman make a catch in it might have been the Seattle game and fall in front of the defender, or you see him dropping balls, especially the one that went through his hands against Kansas City. I mean, you know, do you want to take that hit? And it's not an indictment on his toughness, because obviously he's proved he's tough as hell, and I wouldn't say that because I would be an idiot to say so. I mean, he's very tough, but I mean, is Edelman thinking, you know?
That was a Tony Romo observation that you're talking about. That's, remember, he said that. Like, it's almost like he didn't expect to be in part of the play. Like,
no,
play.
No, but that wasn't Tony Romo saying, did he want to take the hit? See, I had made the point in the Seattle game, it looked like he didn't want to take a hit. And so I'm wondering if, you know, these injuries that he plays through, and he's obviously playing through pain, and he's obviously incredibly tough. But is he now thinking, just subconsciously, maybe, you know?
You might be right. I mean, when did it happen? Is this the same time it happened to Welker, or was it earlier with Welker?
It was earlier with Welker.
Yeah, I think it was like a year or two earlier than it's happening with that. I mean, Edelman's tough as hell. We know that, but you're right. Everybody's got a breaking point, you know? And sometimes you're just, you can't help it. Getting that reflex that you're talking about. I'm sure you're probably right.
Because the Steelers are better than you. Tennessee's better than you. Kansas City's better than you. I like Baltimore more than you, even though I could see a scenario where the Patriots could beat Baltimore. Cleveland's a coin flip. Indianapolis is a coin flip. So, I mean, and Joe, you were even speculating, would you rather be a Dolphin fan right now?
Well,
now.
Do you feel better about the Dolphins in the future or the Patriots right now?
It depends on Tua, and it depends. I mean,
I think Flores is on the rise. They can get free agents. They drafted okay.
I mean, they certainly have talent on that team.
I think your point, Fred, is that we're now at the point where if we don't know what's happening week in and week out with this team anymore. You know, Ted Johnson brought up early, like, could the mystique be gone about the Patriots? The Denver had no fear yesterday. Drew Locke came in here and threw on you, and I know he made mistakes late.
They ran an all-out blitz, essentially, on a 4th and 10 with the game on the line. A game that all of us thought they were going to win when they had the ball down there.
And wide-open receiver, and he couldn't hit him.
And had a wide-open receiver. A team... Belichick would have given a $1 million check to the coach across from him if he knew a year ago they were going to run an all-out blitz on a fourth and 10.
And you know what? If you want to put some stuff on Belichick, I think not challenging that James White third down was damning.
Ernie. Not really.
Yeah, but I mean, Ernie is
the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe Ernie's like lost his fastball a little bit too as well.
And you're challenging that for – you're not challenging that for the first down even. You're challenging that for that they marked it wrong. So chances are you're not losing that challenge no matter what, even if you don't get the first down.
And the Patriots blew a timeout earlier in the game. Like, they, like, tried to, like, get them on a fourth and one or something. They called the timeout. They could have lost the timeout there, too, late in the game.
Oh, the mediocre teams. What if, what have you, what happens, if only, these are the conversations. See, now, as a Jet fan, you're just going, don't change anything. Let it
no,
be.
No, you're saying, please, can we be mediocre?
No, you don't want them to be mediocre. You want them to be flat out the worst team that's ever taken a football field, is what you want.
They're on their way there.
Oh, you could make the argument that they're the worst team of all time. Worse than scab teams. Worse than teams during...
Worse than Rich Kotite
I got to look at that Detroit team. I got to look at the 0-16 Detroit team.
Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer. Joe Flacco's won a championship.
Joe Flacco... Oh, come on. Okay, then did you want...
I mean, let's just... It's facts.
Okay, Hall of Famers at the end of the career. Emmitt
Frank
Smith.
Gore's a Hall.
Okay, Emmitt Smith on that Arizona team. Did you want Emmitt Smith?
No.
Okay. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he was.
By the way, they were playing a... Florida LSU game from when Emmitt Smith was on the team. Emmitt Smith not overly impressive in that game.
Well, because he had that monster offensive line.
And he also had those monster-ass pads.
It's a big dude. Well, little dude, but big.
Monster pads. They wore big pads.
Him or Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, best running back of all time.
There you go.
Best running back of all time. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we talk about?
An NFL coach almost got fired yesterday. A legend retires, and the Red Sox worst nightmare has come true.
All right, we'll have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe, does this...
The stack is brought to you by Window Nation's Buy 2, Get 2 Free Sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% finance for 12 full months. WindowNation.com.
Now, a coach in the NFL yesterday may have literally been coaching for his job yesterday. According to CBS Sports' Jason Lockenfora, Detroit discussed making a coaching change and getting rid of Matt Patricia if the Lions lost to the Jaguars yesterday. That is a report that came out just before the game. Fortunately for Matt Patricia, the Lions pulled out a 34-16 win at Everbank Field. Job saved. Don't know if that's better for the organization or not, but it looks like they were ready to pull the plug, and that's a big deal for a very patient organization to finally get rid of him. But what's the record now? Is that two wins this season?
Yeah, and they could still make the playoffs, but it's so frustrating to look at their stupid way they lost games. That dumb Bears game that they should have won.
They held double-digit leads in how many of those games in the fourth quarter?
The Bears, they had a double-digit lead against the Packers.
Was it every loss this season?
Yeah, okay. But not in the fourth. They crapped themselves against the Saints at the end. So, I mean, they really... So, the Packers dominated them after they got out to that lead. So, whatever. Packers deserved to win that game. But 1, 2, 3, 4... They should be 4-1 instead...
DeAndre Swift dropped that touchdown. He had a good day yesterday.
He dropped the touchdown against the Bears. I mean, they had won the Bears game, but he dropped the ball. But they should never have been in that position anyway.
I think that Minshew magic might have finally worn off, too, in Jacksonville. That might all be done over with.
They have more talent than the Patriots, if you look at their team.
The Lions have more talent than the Patriots.
Well, the Lions have to, but I'm looking at the Jacksonville. Like, Pats could use some of these guys.
Well, if I'm the Jaguars, I'm in business. So
I'd be in business with them, too. So maybe they can make a deal there. Maybe that's one team you could target. Well, a legend has announced his retirement this morning.
Despite that adversity, they followed their coach to the high road. And the high road is the road to the cup. No icing. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. And they pour on to celebrate with Tim Thomas, their heroic goaltender.
Doc Emmerich, one of the best to ever do it. He announced this morning he is done. 74 years old. He said, quote, "I hope I can handle retirement okay, especially since I've never done it before, but I've been extremely lucky for 50 years, and NBC has been so good to me, especially during the pandemic when I was allowed to work from home in a studio that NBC created." He said it just seemed to be that the time was right. Plus, I've now accumulated enough frequent flyer miles not to go anywhere. But I do love that guy. It sucks that he's going to be gone now.
He's not done. He's not. He's just not going to be. He's the kind of guy that's not done. He won't be the main guy anymore for NBC. I love Doc Emmerich, too. I think most people do. And if you don't, I really don't know what you want out of someone. I don't really know what he did wrong. To hate Doc Emmerich is kind of weird. It's not like he did anything. It's not like he... I mean, he says, like, hokey colloquialisms, but, I mean, guess it's part of the charm. But to hate the guy is really bizarre to me. But he's the kind of guy that he's going to come back and do. He'll be doing, like, the games in Medicine Hat or something like that.
He's 74, man. I see retiring,
but he's going to... Yeah. He'll crawl back into a booth. He'll be back doing something. He won't be gone forever.
He's one of my three personal favorites. You know, Doc Gorman, I'd even put up there. And my number one of all time, I'm sorry to Doc and Gorman, but I mean...
And that's why you see those beautiful tears of a man whose heart was bursting.
Tom Cruise? Iker
Casillas. Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood actors, Phil? It's the gladiators out there, man. Not tennis players. Tom Cruise. Break. If he smelt a sock of jock strapping, if he ain't dead away.
I mean, that's better than Ray Hudson. Well, Ray Hudson, in fairness, does not do play-by-play. If he did, you would not know what happened in the game at all.
He would just be like, he is color. That's right.
Yeah, he would just be like, you smell that teff. Oh, and then meanwhile, there's like 8 goals. Oh, you could just roll around in it. Yeah, it makes you have a boy.
Thiago. Messi.
Oh.
Messi!
Oh, are you kidding me?
Work of art.
This man is absolutely mainline to pure footballing magic that belongs in a different galaxy altogether than we are living in. Absolute astonishing, jaw-dropping genius from Lionel. Watch this hesitation right there. 3 players inside a telephone box and he don't care. He emasculates them individually, collectively. He literally disperses his atoms inside of his body on one side of this defender and then collects them on the other. Magisterial, Lionel. Magnifico. Extraordinario. Barcelona bounce back. Messi leading the way with his brilliant Blaugrana flag. It is on fire, and he sticks it into the heart of Athletic Club.
He's like a great dominatrix with a room of sycophantic Nancy boys. What to do? I'm waiting for your instructions.
He's got a lobster down his short.
He's very colorful in the way he speaks.
Can do, madam. Your wish is my order.
It's dominatrix Ray Hudson here.
Ah, what do you want me to eat next? You humiliate me.
He's groundskeeper Willie all of a sudden.
Yeah,
too.
Well, I mean, he is.
Essentially.
How many ways do you want me to shake the Scottish accent? I mean, it is what it is. By the way, Joe Murray loves big butts. And I was listening to the Chip Chipperson podcast, and he had on one of the people that was one of the guests. He doesn't interview people. It's just kind of like a free-for-all. And one of them was a model who was very famous for her large derriere. And the descriptions of like what guys want with that are gross. That's all I'll say. The whole big butt phenomenon is really confusing. It's just real confusing to me. And like what guys want to do is all gross and... It's just like something's going on, and it's so mainstream. I mean, you got Stephen A. Smith extolling the virtues of...
Listen, Stephen A. Smith, he's always down with that. Everyone knows that. I mean, come on. If there's any...
Always.
And then he says on like a daytime talk show like what he likes, and then Rich...
I'm
tells
a bottom feeder.
And then Rich tells me, and I honestly didn't know what that meant, and then Rich told me, and I'm like, ew!
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that's what he means.
That's gross. The definition of it. So, I mean, the whole thing is gross. The whole big butt phenomenon is depravity. I feel like,
by the way,
I should be in Footloose, telling the town to get away from these big booty fantasies. I mean, my goodness.
Finally, I don't know if you stayed up late to watch it, but Mookie Betts once again going to the World Series. This is basically, if there's ever been a World Series that makes the Red Sox look more like chumps, I can't recall it. On one side, you have a team from your division. The other side, a team that you trade your best player. So there you go. One thing that was pretty interesting was that Cody Bellinger, who hit the game-winning home run in the seventh inning, afterwards, you know, he rounds the bases, and then he does this elbow high five to one of his teammates, and he does it so hard that he dislocates his shoulder and goes down into that. Like, you saw him do it to one guy, and then he kind of holds onto his arm, and everyone else trying to high five is like, yeah, and then he goes like down into the dugout and comes back out, and on TV you could see him mouthing to his teammates, "I had to pop it back in." So I don't know whether that's going to affect him, but he seemed fine after that. But that's a pretty dumb way to injure yourself.
Crushed that baseball and watched it.
Yep. Well, if you're going to do it, that's the time to do it. It's not like anyone's going to throw at you. By the way, Mookie Betts gets more credit for average catches than any human being in the history of the game of baseball.
That is true. There were some people over the past, like there was one yesterday, and then there was one in the game before that was like, you're never going to see a catch like this.
Now,
it was a very good catch, my God.
I felt like the Phil Henry episode where he had the character who wanted to sue Guns N' Roses for sucking on the VMAs. I showed my son, I was like, hey, guess what? Mookie Betts just made this great catch, and I showed it to him, and we both looked at each other like, eh? And he ran back on a ball.
How about watching Gratterall pitch? Not cool.
Well, you know what? The Rays should let the, you know what? You didn't keep Mookie Betts. I understand why you didn't. You're going to suck with him, suck without him. But now you have all this freedom, and you suck. Use these picks wisely. Do what Tampa did and then sprinkle in some high price guys and you're right back at it.
But, how long until David Price comes back? Hey, by the way, I think...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.